guys. Welcome back to another episode of Young, Wise, and Rich. Today, I have one of my really good friends here. This is like a brother to me, literally. So his name is Jeremiah. But you know, before we get into the topic today, I'm gonna pray us in, and you know, we'll get started. Thank you, Father, just for this day. Thank you for allowing Jeremiah to make it over here safely. Thank you, Lord, for speaking through us. Thank you, Lord, for speaking to us. And thank you, Lord, for giving us new wisdom and new understanding and new knowledge and just being able to seek you over our whole hearts, man. I thank you, Lord, for blessing me with Jeremiah as a brother, as a friend. And, you know, I just love you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen.
Yes, sir. But
we are here.
Yeah, we're finally here.
We talked about it. Now we're here. We
talked about it for so much. I think September was when I had his sister Jordan on, and I was like, I saw him that Sunday, because our episode came out on a Friday. Mm-hmm. I saw you that Sunday, and I'm like, I would love to have you on, bro. You're like, that's how the Lord's going to move, bro. That's how the Lord's going to move. So it's really cool to, you know, finally be here. But I don't know if you want to give them a little bit of your testimony, bro, and, you know, we'll get into the topic a little bit.
No, yeah, so my parents are, my dad is a pastor at a church here in Tallahassee, Transformation Church. And I guess I'm one of the lucky ones, you know, like I'm born into like a very strong Christian household. So like starting up with going to church every Sunday, staying there, you know, overnight with my dad working and my mom being the lead worship pastor there. So I guess I was definitely the lucky ones to know Jesus. But going through the years and through, you know, my middle school and high school days, I was just going with the flow with, you know, with what my parents are doing. So it was like serving at a church, you know, doing lighting and, you know, just a whole bunch of stuff just because, like I thought it was, you know, or just a way of just, you know, just helping my parents out with the church and everything. But I wasn't really following Christ. Looking back, yes, I went to church every Sunday, but then after that, I'd be in the worst, you know, in darkness, you know, the whole time, you know, wasn't letting people in, you know, I was in my own sin at the time, and I was enjoying what I was doing in my sin. Like, I didn't want to leave. But, you know, after high school, you know, went to a summer job, did lawn care, and tried to see what I wanted to do after high school. So I went to trade school, did HVAC, and when I started doing HVAC, I, you know, was doing it for the money. I wanted money. I wanted to, you know, would say like build an empire, I would say, of just like having as my satisfaction to life. And going down the road, no matter how much money I had in my bank account, I wasn't having joy. I wasn't having fun. No matter how many things I spend on video games or food or clothes, like it wasn't my joy to life.
Yeah.
And so I was in that pit for, you know, quite some time of just rethinking of like, am I really a follower? Am I going to church because of my parents? Am I looking at Jesus through my parents' faith?
Yeah.
And like at that time I was partying, went to clubs without my parents knowing, overnight spending at my friend's house doing some stuff. I think at that time I was wanting a change. So I wanted to go to Lee University where my parents, graduated from there. Mm-hmm. You know, just try to find something that I really wanted to do in life. And, I believe when I got accepted for Lee, mm-hmm. I had another opportunity to do firefighting for free. Like, it was going to be paid for and everything like that. Mm-hmm. And so at that time I was, you know, I guess it was the first time that I, you know, I really prayed to God, just wanting, you know, a path to where I needed to be at. And so, but when my dad, me and my dad talked about it and talked about the pros and cons of which one's better, mm-hmm. I had more pros to do firefighting than I had more pros with Lee. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, you know what, maybe just go to Tampa. My grandparents are there. They told me that I could stay with them no matter how long,
yeah.
You know? And so
thank God for grandparents.
Yes, right. Yeah. And so I went over there, went to school there for I guess a couple of weeks. But you know, I would say I went to church on a Sunday, you know, but didn't feel a part of any church in Tampa. Mm-hmm. You know, still doing my, you know, my sin. I was enjoying it. You know, I never wanted to leave my bedroom. Mm-hmm. And it was at the time where my mom mentioned about an internship at a church. Mm-hmm. When I was doing firefighting, and I was kind of hesitant because I was like, well, the Lord, I was kind of hesitant because of the, what me and my dad talked about, like about the pros with firefighting. Mm-hmm. And so I was really trying to, I was trying to discern what I needed to do. Mm-hmm. And talked with one of the young adults pastor who runs the internship, and he told me that I got accepted to do it. Mm-hmm. I was like, you know what, I'm gonna go because I get to live by myself. Mm-hmm. No grandparents to nag me all the time. Yeah. And like I can be who I wanted to be.
Yeah.
So I went there. Also I did firefighting every Tuesday. Mm-hmm. And I went to class every Tuesday, so I was learning terminology, studying for tests and quizzes and everything while going to the internship and serving at a church. Mm-hmm. And like not really being a Christian at all. And so, but the more that I studied in the scripture for real, mm-hmm. and went to classes about the Bible, yeah. The more I was understanding what I was looking at and who my parents were serving for at a church, you know?
Yeah.
And so at that time I was really trying to figure out what I wanted to do. And I was like, Lord, just help me, like, let me know what I needed to do. Yeah. And I just felt like I needed to stay at the internship and do that full time instead of doing firefighting. So, stopped going to classes. I didn't get my refund for the classes. So I was like, you know what? Oh well, the class cost me like a grand. So I lost. Yeah. So I didn't have any money.
Yeah.
I was just lonely. Just didn't have anybody but the Lord. So I would guess it was a season of solitude because yeah. I wanted to be with Jesus. Mm-hmm. But I was just so, I was alone.
Yeah.
Just the more I studied on the Word and the more I understand what Jesus did for us, the more I wanted to spend the rest of my life with Him. Yeah. And so in Tampa was really when I got changed and got baptized for real. Like I was baptized when I was a little kid, but now I was baptized as a for real Christian, like a real, like I want to follow Jesus. And then after that, just been, you know, constant, you know, studying, praying, having some amazing friends, like, you know,
but
I guess that's my testimony.
Yeah,
of everything.
Yeah, man. It's always funny when I do this segment of the episode, because it's stuff that I didn't even know, and I find out in the episode as well, bro.
Shows how a true friend you are.
Yeah, man, gotta improve, bro. But I think that's I think it's really beautiful, like, in every testimony that, like, you know the Lord is still present. It's just, you know, I always say, like, He's always there. We're always the ones that's running. And then eventually we find our ways, like, you know, back. And, you know, He never stopped loving us. And He never, you know, left us even in the midst of us wanting to do what we wanted to do. And, you know, and endure the things that we wanted to go through, you mm-hmm. know. And I think sometimes, especially, you know, we're young and we are in this world that, you know, promotes everything that's ungodly and other than God. And, you know.
Yeah.
Sometimes, especially, like, you know, like thanking Him for the households that we have come from, like being raised in the church. So even when we were in those moments where we were doing things that are having conversations or whatever the case may be, that we should not have taken, indulged in those things.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you know, deep down inside, we knew what was right, what was wrong. But I think that's the beauty of, you know, having a God-fearing parents, bro, that, you know, raise us on His principles, you know, so.
No, yeah, and I still can't understand to this day of how the Lord changed my life mm-hmm. from just trying to find jobs and trying to find careers, because he shifted me from one career to the next, you know, and it's just crazy how God works, because he wanted me to be by myself with him, without any distractions, and just because I didn't have a job for a couple months in that time, so I was scrapping for food, you know. They at the church, they would do connection group every month, and they would have public subs in the kitchen, and we were told that we were never supposed to eat what the church bought. But I didn't listen. I was hungry, you know. I was trying to survive, you know. And so I would eat public subs every day. And but it's just crazy how the Lord works, that he answered my prayers when I was in sin, when I wasn't following him. And it just shows how much love he has for all of us, no matter what circumstance and no matter what we're doing in life, you know. And it's just he wanted me to be alone with him and to have understanding of what he did for me. So it's just very powerful.
Oh yeah, that's beautiful, bro. Also, like, you know, meant to say this in the beginning, but the topic that we'll be talking about today is called The Gift That Keeps On Giving. Shout out to my mom for helping me come up with the name of this episode. but yeah, you know, I talked to Jeremiah about doing an episode with him, and, you know, just went deep into prayer about, this episode. We had an hour long. I wish we got it on camera for you guys. We had, like, an hour long conversation
before. Oh, yeah, we did. We didn't want to do the podcast. We wanted to keep on talking.
Yeah, man, you guys almost didn't get an episode today.
Yeah, for the bonus footage. Exclusive bonus footage.
Right. But it's like, you know, we were having like an hour long conversation, like talking about like walking with the Lord sincerely, and understanding, like, you know, that it's a responsibility.
What our true purpose is as a follower of Christ and as a disciple, because you know, we're not here to have a position or a name. We're here to bring people to Jesus.
Right.
And that's what's most important, is to show love to other people who feel like they're in darkness. We're supposed to be that light to those people, you know? And I feel like that's one thing. I feel like Christians are very comfortable with where they are at the church and where they're at, you know, with youth groups and young adults, that they're not realizing out there that there's people that are suffering in their own sin and in their own darkness and their own trauma.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just like, we need to be those light for those people here at the church. So.
Yeah, man, like, that's something that we were talking about, you know, before the cameras cut on. It's like, you know, making the people that, you know, feel like they're not seen, making them feel like they have a place and being there for them. And I think that's like a responsibility that has like gone like forsaken in the church overall, and just understanding like, hey, like, you know, we're not called to love the loved, you know, we're called to love the unlovable,
to love the sick people.
Yeah, to love, like, that's what the church is for. The church is for the lost and the broken. Like, it's kind of like, every time I think about it, I think about like the prodigal son, like, and the older brother. Though, like, those are like, a lot of people talk about the prodigal son and him rather than the father's arms, but
what about,
like,
the older brother?
Yeah, the older brother that was like, instead of rejoicing in that,
it's like, where's my glory?
Right.
You know, like, where's why? I stick by you. Where's my fattened calf? You know, where's my party? You know,
right? Like, why am I not being praised? And it's like, or why am I not, like, why are you guys not throwing a banquet or party for me? And it's like, you've been doing what is right. That means even more.
It's not about what you did right, but it's about the person that has been done wrong for so long that he's finally home to the Father.
And you're thinking of self in that moment without realizing, like, your little brother just came back to the Lord. You know, I think a lot of the times we're just, especially like within the church, we're so focused on like self. And I think that's a funny thing. That's one of the first conversations we ever talked about, is because, like, both of us, like, literally, like, you know, you have some people, they rejoice and talk over football and sport. We rejoice and talk about Jesus' image all the time.
I'm like, I gotta invite this man.
Yeah. He's like, hey, bro, like, he's like, poor Easter. He's like, bro, he sent me this song. It's been on repeat every single day after he sent me The Blood of Christ with John Wiles, bro, which, you know, if you haven't listened to it, you need to go. I'm promoting it for them. You need to go listen to that song. But I remember that was one of the first conversations we had about, like, you know, Michael Koulianos and, you know, just like just having a heart for people and allowing the Holy Spirit to move. I think that's something that's really missing from just, you know, people. I think having the heart of Christ is so important.
Yeah.
You know, walking in that, like, it's like, if you don't have the heart of Christ, but then you say you're serving him, like, what's the point of serving him if you're not going to have his heart or show his heart, you know? So, yeah. But, yeah, one of the first questions that, you know, I have is, how did you come to live for the Lord sincerely being so young, you know?
No, yeah, like I said in my testimony, it was solitude with Jesus.
Yeah.
And just taking, like, when, so this is, I don't tell a lot of people this, but when I got baptized for real, I wasn't baptized to show my public faith, but I was baptized to show my covenant with Jesus that no matter what circumstance, no matter what dark times I have, I'll still follow you to the end and I'll still be with you and still love you. And after that baptism, I was just on fire with Jesus. I was, you know, our group had a prayer group every Monday or Tuesday. So I would drive up 40 minutes for a 2-hour prayer and worship night with them while serving at my internship, while having classes every Monday and Wednesday about the Old and the New Testament. But I think it was just, most importantly, out of all of those things, it was my solitude with him, praying and like what scripture says, like, pray with the door shut, you know, don't pray out loud publicly. And that's where I spent a lot of my time, was praying inside of my my room. Lastly, because I was living at a church, I was living inside the church at the time, so all the other interns, they were living portables outside, and so I had an opportunity to be by myself at the church, so it was just nobody but me, and so it was the perfect time for me to be with him, and the more I just started falling in love with him, just started understanding scripture and understanding the things of this world and the things that it is to come. And I was clean in a state of, like my vessel wasn't dirty anymore, where the Lord could come into my heart and dwell in. And there was this one night where I had a dream, and I can remember it like it was yesterday. And I was watching something on my laptop, and it was this lady, I don't know who this lady is, but she said, talking about, was it the feather or something like that, but that's not what's important to what I'm going to say. But after that, she told me to shut the noise, like cut the noise down. And so I closed my laptop and I lay down and I closed my eyes, and I was just waiting. It was silent. And then I heard a wind coming from my left ear, and it was the Holy Spirit saying, "Jesus, Jesus," out of my left ear. And I started crying. I started like weeping in my dream. I was like, "You're real. You're so real. I can't believe you." And I woke up, and my ear was on fire, like it was burning, like from the Holy Spirit saying Jesus, like my ear was burning, like I would touch this ear and it was fine, but when I touched this ear, it was burning hot. And so I started weeping and I started crying, because I couldn't believe he was so real, you know. And I told my mom that, and she was like, "The Lord has revealed to you who he is." And I was just so happy. I was like, "Oh my gosh, I can't believe it." But it was in that time of solitude that I spent time with him and in the Bible, because I was close to his heart, that he wanted to reveal himself to me. And so that's how I got close with the Lord, was in time of solitude with him.
I think that's where, you know, like when he revealed himself to Moses in that burning bush, you know, it was just Moses and him. And I think a lot of the times the Lord to do that, like I've had moments in my life, I talked about it a little bit on the last podcast, like I've had moments in my life where I knew the Lord was present in moments, in situations and things, and you're not aware of it because you haven't, like, you know, he can call you out or call out in the midst of 1,000 people, and you don't even know who he is. Mm-hmm. You don't know his voice.
No,
it's
yeah.
like, you know, if our moms called our voices, our names out right now, we would know, like, you know, okay, our mom, yeah, because we've been around them mm-hmm. so much.
Absolutely.
And I think when you put yourself in the vicinity to be around him and to get to know him, you break bread with him and mm-hmm. you get to sit in his presence and you're having conversations with him, like how you and me are having a conversation right now, I think that's when he really moves. I would say, like, it was for me, like, when I split from my friend group, and I've talked about it on the podcast before. Like, when I split from my friend group and it was just, you know, me by myself, you know, walking with the Lord, and the aspect of, like, I was like, hey, like, I'm in the midst of all of these people. It's like 15 of us, but I feel super lonely. And it's like, you know, a lot of people are like, well, how do you feel super alone when you have 15 people around you or 14 people around you? And it's like, because I was not really, I didn't consecrate myself to the Lord. I was just so focused on hanging with my friends and, you know, going out with them and just mm-hmm. doing, like, you know, just stuff with them, that I wasn't really, like, I never allowed myself to be just present with mm-hmm. the Lord. And, you know, I think each and every one of us has, like, a God-shaped hole in each and every one of our hearts, and mm-hmm. only He can fill that cup. And I think when I split from that group and, like, you know, I went through that time where I didn't really have anybody to call, and like my phone was super dry, there was nobody hitting me up, and I was like, at the church I was at, I didn't have any friends there either at mm-hmm. that time. And I'm like, it's just me and the Lord, man. I remember being in my room and, like, literally just, like, looking and, like, at, like, you know, at the roof or at the ceiling. And, you know, I remember a moment with the Lord where I was just like, man, like, I went through this all through middle and high school, like, being homeschooled, not having any friends, and, you know, just all of that. And I remember, like, he was just like, I've been here. And that's why I was like, you've been the one that's been running. You know, you, like, I've been right here with my arms wide open for you. Mm-hmm. And I just remember, you know, just breaking down, realizing, like, you know, like, moments where he was present, like I said in the last episode with that woman on the elevator, like, hearing his voice and, like, not listening to it because I was so afraid of, you know, public reactions. And I think about mm-hmm. the, you know, verse where Jesus is like, you know, if you're just like, it's like, you know, if you reject me in front of, you know, your people, I'm going to reject you in front of my mm-hmm. Father.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, just never wanting to feel that, like, you know, like, I wouldn't wish that on my worst enemy, that feeling I felt on the elevator that day. Disobeying the Lord when you hear him. And I know, like, that was something that he revealed to me, where he was like, hey, I didn't call you to judge yourself, I just called you to remember this feeling. I knew you weren't going to listen, but I called you to remember this feeling, because now, like, the heart that you have for people has always been there, but now you're walking in the heart that I've given you. Mm-hmm. And you're not doing it to see what you can get back, but you're doing it because you love people. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, you love me, and I've given you the ability to love. You don't know what, you never knew what true love was until you got to endure my presence.
That's good, yeah.
You know, so yeah. I think, you know, being young and living in that, and also having, you know, like, having a mixed range of people. Like, I have, like, a lot of older people in my life that pour wisdom onto me, but then I also have a lot of young friends, like my friend right here, who pours out, like, you know, me talking to this guy, you know, like, wisdom is all over him. So,
okay, no.
Hey, you pour a lot of it out, bro. You pour a lot of it out, but just having those people that, you know, they're pushing you closer to Christ, bro, and, like, you know, surrounding yourself. Honestly, like, not even, like, I would say, like, for myself, I wasn't even searching for it. Like, it was...
That's so funny how the Lord gives you something that you're not even searching for.
Yeah, no expectations or anything. It's just, like, we were talking about it before the episode came on, like, about how, like, it started just from a simple conversation. Mm-hmm. Like, it started with just a hello.
That's all I needed.
Yeah, yeah.
To start.
Yeah, so, like, just to start it off, and, you know, every time we saw each other after that, checking on each other, and mm-hmm. you know, each and every time we saw each other, it was a 10 minutes longer, 20 minutes longer that we were talking. But I would say, like, for sure, specifically with Jeremiah, I remember a time I was actually, there's like a arcade place here called Fun Station, and I was going with my family, and I, like, walk in the Fun Station. And, like, I hadn't talked to Jeremiah in probably, like, a month at this point.
Yeah, I was kind of busy.
Yeah, he was busy. He was busy. Like, we were, like, he came to the church in September. Like, it was, like, a block party. We hung out. And I hadn't heard from him. I hadn't heard from him since then. Then October hit, and then like I get a random text on my phone, and it's like Jeremiah. He's like, "Hey, bro," and I'm like, and like the funny thing was,
he was like, "Oh, that's right, yeah. I know."
Yeah, I just saved his name up to the number, but I'm like, "Yeah," like I'm like, he's like, "Hey, bro," and I remember I texted back like, "Bro, what's up?" You know, like, "How have you been?" And he's like, "Bro, I've been good." He's like, "Bro, I've been praying for you," and like, you know, it's probably, I've only had like only a few friends that, you know, like the first thing they tell you is, "Hey, bro, I've been praying for you," and like how much that really means, because I think that's something that, you know, we don't really do. A lot of people say they're praying for you, but like, you know, actually like telling you like, "Yeah, bro, that's what I've been praying for you."
Yeah,
for.
We tell people that, "Oh, yeah, we're praying for you," but it's like, yeah, churchy.
Yeah,
but
yeah, that's your prayer. Is I'm praying for you. That's your prayer.
But when you get that random, "Hey, bro, I just gotta let you know that I'm praying for you."
Yeah,
it's just a different type of feeling, mm-hmm. like connection and relationship.
Yeah, yeah, because that's like the foundation of it. Like we're talking about, you know, we don't really know what I'm like, you know. The Lord says, like, the greatest thing you can do is to lay your life down for, like, you know, once for your friend. It's like, you want to, like, we were talking, like, you want a billboard picture of that. Literally look at David and Jonathan. Like, I remember you said something, like, what was it before the podcast started where you were, like, about, like, Saul, like,
being. Yeah, Saul trying to kill David. Yeah. And then, Saul tried to find him again.
Yeah.
And then Jonathan let David out and let him run away and flee.
Yeah,
you know, and it's just like that he loved David so much that he disobeyed his father.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, yeah. Like I think that's the beauty of it. It's like, bro, you would think about that, and it's like, I mean, you're supposed to be next in line to be king, but it's like, no, I love him so much that I'm not about to let you kill him. Like, you know, I remember it was like one part where it was like, what has he done to you? Like, why do you want to kill him?
Yeah, he tried to kill him twice with a spear, bro.
Yeah.
Like, what?
Like, David,
so I don't
like,
think you love him. Yeah, no. So I don't think you love him at all.
No, like, Jonathan was like, what has he done? And David's like, bro, your dad is trying to kill me.
But you know what's so funny? That when David fled and went to the cave and Saul relieved himself,
yeah,
the soldiers were telling him, "Hey, you have your opportunity," and they were giving out, was it not scripture, but they told him, like, "The Lord gave you the opportunity to kill him."
Yeah.
And David was like, "I'll do what my father," or I don't know how this, you know, the verses is, but he goes up and he cut his his robe or his cloak, and revealed to him that he could have killed him.
Right.
But he spared him because of David's love for people.
Yeah.
Like, he wasn't, I feel like that's why David was after the Lord's heart so much, because he has that different type of love. He wasn't looking for revenge.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. He just cared about, he was a shepherd, bro. And that's what we were talking about before, like, you know, it's that's what this life is about. It's about caring for others, laying your life down for even people you don't even consider a friend. You know, like, people whose numbers you don't have in your phone, but you're laying your life down for them. But yeah, man, the second question I had is, how do you navigate using the gifts that God has given you?
So when I thought about this question, I was thinking more of, like, spiritual gifts.
Okay.
But I feel like the Holy Spirit took a turn, and it was talking about the gift of salvation. And wait, can I see that question again?
Oh, yeah, I got you.
No, sorry. Okay, navigate.
Yeah.
And so I think with us Christians, we have such a not a selfish way, but we think too hard of ourselves, of like, we're not doing a good job for the Lord.
Yeah.
You know, we're having so much overthinking in our minds of like, "Oh, I did this, and the Lord's gonna punish like me," like. And so I just want people to realize that the gift of salvation, like, the Lord died for you for a reason. No matter what sin you committed, He has open arms for you.
Yeah.
And so that navigated towards me, especially becoming a new Christian, and actually like giving my life to Jesus. Because yes, even though I was in solitude with Him, there was a couple times where I slipped. And there was times where I was beating myself up of like, "How am I going to get out of this? Like, oh, the Lord just hates me. The Lord hates me."
Yeah.
But it's not. That's not what He called you to be.
Right.
You know, like, He gave you salvation for a reason. And so some people, I feel like for people, you know, when they're having in such a, you know, a deep, like they're beating themselves up, with, you know, sin, that they need to have a renewal of mind of salvation again.
Yeah.
Of like, He died for you for a reason. He didn't come to condemn you, but He came to He's not here to condemn you. Like, he's not here to judge you.
Yeah, I think that's good. I think that's beautiful, bro. I know, like, when I wrote that question, I felt like the Lord, even for myself, was just saying, like, your gifts really don't belong to you. They're not meant to be used for you. They're meant to be, I gave them to you so you can pour them out, and, you know, pour them out to others. That's why I gifted it to you. It's like, I think so many times we all have gifts, but we're so afraid of the public of, like, how this could come off, or I've been hurt by these people, or, like, you know, I'm afraid or I'm shy and I don't want to, you know, I'd rather just do this privately. But it's like, you know, like, the Lord gave you that for a reason, because, you know, he's giving you that so you can touch people. It's like, you know, I love saying, like, let's get heaven crowded. Like, you know, he's giving you those gifts so, you know, you
can expand territory.
Yeah. Expand it. You know, get other people to come with you. That's what we should be locking arms with, you know, our other brothers and sisters, and just, you know, just walking in that and understanding, like, okay, cool, like, I have this gift, but it's borrowed. It doesn't really belong to me. It was gifted to me, and I'm gonna cherish that gift. I think that's one of the things that we take for granted, is the fact that, like, he doesn't, like, need us. And I think sometimes we get in our heads to make it seem like, he's like, I'll have the rocks cry out for me.
So I can command 1,000 angels to protect me right now. Yeah. When he was about to get carried to Jerusalem to for his trial.
Yeah.
Or there's another one of, like, there's angels circling around his throne saying, holy, holy, holy. Yeah. Like, he doesn't need us.
Right.
You know?
Like, but he already has everything he needs. But he wants, it's that want factor. It's like a wanting to be, you know,
with his creation.
Yeah, father and his children, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think that's something that we don't really, I think we're just, you know, I was talking with a friend and telling him, like, you know, like, a lot of people, like, we're, like, you know, a lot of people say, like, scared. And it's like, yeah, we're not supposed to be scared and ask for not wanting to be in his presence. It's the factor of, I have so much love and respect for you that I don't want to disappoint you. And I have so much love and respect for you that, like, you know, I don't want to purposefully sin and put things in, you know, I don't want to put a block in front of us. I want to just be right there with you, walking this life with you. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the fear that we're supposed to have, that we're supposed to carry on in our lives. But I think, I think that's good, man. Yeah. I think that's good. But yeah, another one I had is, what does living for Christ look like to you sincerely? Like, living for him sincerely, what does that look like to you?
So I think, like you said, having an intimate heart with Jesus, or having, because there was this, what was it called that you were talking about? Like, there's something like intimate heart.
Train left. I have this moment every podcast where the train just leaves the station, bro. I'm busy thinking right now. It wasn't intentional, was it?
Oh, I gotta look it up now. To help me. Having the heart of Christ. That was the one. So when I was thinking about that, I was, because when you told me, like, hey, this is what I have in plans, but it might change, but pray about it. I was like, all right. Yeah. And so I was, you know, studying the word, and was just trying to understand of, like, having the heart of Christ. Yeah. And it brought me to when Jesus was washing the disciples' feet.
Yeah.
And when I read it again, I was like, why did he do that?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And it was just a moment of not just humility, but of humbleness.
Yeah.
Because, like, he came down from this earth fully fleshed and fully God. Like, he limited himself to hang with us, you know, as sinners. Yeah. And, like, he knew when his hour had come that to humble himself and to wash his disciples' feet. Like, there was a scripture that says he took off his garment, put it and wrapped a towel around. Yeah. And there was a scripture in Psalm of saying like it was like garment his life.
Yeah.
It was in,
Oh yeah. Gotta open the book, bro. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it says in Psalm 4, it says, "O Lord, my God, you are very great. You are clothed with armor and majesty, who cover yourself with light, and as with a garment, who stretched out of heavens like a curtain." And so when I saw that, it was just like, he has so much power.
Yeah.
He has so much majesty. Like, he's the Son of God.
Yeah.
You know? But yeah, he takes it off and puts on a towel.
Yeah.
You know, that's just, and I feel like that's what we're called to be,
yeah,
is a servant, you know, just as Jesus. Because it says in Mark 10:45, it says, the Son of Man came down to earth
not to be served, but to serve others. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I feel like just Christians in general, mm-hmm, I feel like they leave that out, that we're not here. We're not here with our own satisfaction or for our own glory. We're here to be a servant, to be humble with the people who walk in the door, you know,
yeah,
and the people who are lost.
Yeah.
And like, that's, you know, that's my, you know, my, like my motto when it comes with like walking. It's just like, we need to be servants.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's something that I think when I really, like, you know, when the Lord really arrested my heart, I think that was something that he was teaching me, and that, like, you know, he gave me in the aspect of like walking in that and understanding, like, hey, like, you're not here for yourself. You know, I could, the same way I can use you, I can use somebody else. So understanding like I brought you here on this earth to, first of all, serve me, to love me, but also to love others and to serve others. Mm-hmm. And it's like not having, like, you know, just what you want to accomplish, not just having that in mind, but understanding, like, you have other people's, like, you know, well-being, like, on your mind, and you care about others more than you care about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And like living in that, I think that's something that's really missing from the overall church, bro, is like, you know, understanding that you're not here to, you know, start your public campaign and to, you know, accomplish the things that you want for your own kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like, you know, every kingdom that you build up on this earth is temporary. It's not going to last. It's a kingdom above that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the kingdom that's going to last. But the thing that you can have hope in, that's so beautiful, is that you get to rejoice in that kingdom when you live for that king sincerely. And I think that's something that when you walk in that, I think it's beautiful. Like, it's a father-son, father-daughter, whatever the case may be, relationship. And the fact that he loves you that much that, like, you know, he sent his son to die for you and to, like, you know, to die the death that, you know, we all should be dying. And, you know, he loved us that much. And I think that's something that, that it's like, I was just reading this in my devotional where Jesus took, like, you know, some of his disciples with him before, like, you know, like, the crucifixion was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And they're falling asleep.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, can you not stay up with me for just an hour? Yeah. Like, you know, like, it's like, hey, don't fall asleep because, you know, like now you're putting yourself in the will of temptation.
The flesh is weak, but the spirit is
willing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's understanding, like how, like, a lot of people, we read that verse and it's like, we're thinking sleep, like, okay, it's dark outside, it's time to go lay in the bed. But it's like, we can literally be roaming this earth asleep without realizing that there's people that need to be saved and there's people that need to be loved. And we're so focused on ourselves that, you know, we're asleep on the aspect of we're sleeping on what he has for us, and we're sleeping on the people that he's called us to be, you know. And I just think we're walking in that, we're walking in his truth and in his life and in his love and, you know, his patience and understanding, and now we're able to pour that out. We don't have to try. It's already in us. So it's like, like, I don't have to go and try out, I don't have to go and try to love others because, you know, I have experienced his love. So now it's not me really trying because he's loving through me, because the love that I've experienced from him is a love that, you know, you don't experience from most people or from any person, because his love is far beyond any love that we can ever have for any person, you know. So
I think that's a good mindset to have, that everything is so temporal.
Yeah.
Like, and that he is internal. Like, he is the way, the truth, and life. Yeah. Nothing goes to the Father except through him. Like, he is the way of internal life.
Yeah.
In the way of internal life. So that's I like the mindset with that.
Yeah.
Because no matter how much wealth you make, no matter how big of a business you make, no matter how much people follow you on social media, like, it's gonna rot in heaven. It's not meant to be up there,
right?
You know, and I think that's such a good mindset to have, especially in this world. No matter if you're in a deep walk with Jesus or not, you need to understand that Jesus is coming back, and that he is gonna judge the people who believe in him, who have faith in him, who doesn't. And that's a scary thought.
It's very scary. Like, I think that should be your heart posture for this life, is understanding, like, he's like, hey, if you're gonna, like, live lukewarm, like, we'll spit you out. Like, you know, it's either be all in or be all out. It's no in between, you know. And having that heart posture of, like you and me were talking about, we're not living this life to get a career. Like, we're living this life because we've experienced his love, and
we want to be with him in his kingdom.
Yeah, and rejoice in that. And, you know, it's having those people that, like, you know, we were talking about, like, being a real friend is when your friends are going through things, you're not trying to get down to their level, and you're not talking down to them, like, yeah, man, like, it'll, like, you know, I dealt with this situation, but it's like, no, you're reaching your hand out, and you're picking that person up.
So, there was a time when me and Ariel were dating, and she was going through something that, I don't know, but she was going through something, and I was speaking scripture to her. It's like, hey, don't worry, because no matter how many times I get into her head, she's like, Jeremiah, I just want a hug. Yeah. I just want you to be here for me. And I feel like, especially with a lot of people who think scripture is, yes, it is a way to the heart, but but also a greeting, and also saying, I'm here for you, like, you're not alone.
Yeah.
And that changed me when Ariel told me that, like, hey, what you're doing, it's not gonna help me at all. And I was like, oh wow.
I had one of my good friends say on the podcast, like, it's a difference when we're actually, like, speaking the word and when we're living the word. Because, you know, when he said it, it really hit. I'm like, bro, that is so true. Like, because I think we get in the habit of, like, where we read it, and then we just start sharing it, but it's like, you're supposed to live in that. Like, your being is supposed to be that.
Mm-hmm.
So now it's like, I don't have to be like, hey, Jeremiah, you know, Matthew 22 verse 5 says, but, like, no, I'm living that. I'm actually like,
you're just shooting that to my face.
Right.
Like, I'm so glad you learned that.
Right. It's like, bro, like, okay, like, I know that verse too, bro. I've heard that verse too, but, you know, that's not really helping my situation right now. But yeah, it's living in that, and it's living in that love, bro. Sometimes all I think it circles back to our relationship with Jesus, bro. It circles back to our relationship with God, like, understanding, like, if we're always talking, we'll never hear his voice. You know, if this podcast right now is just, you know, every time you try to talk and you're like, well, I'm like, no, but I also wanted to say, it's like, you're
like, yeah, no, actually, let me take this from you.
Right, the people are going to be like, man, this should have just been the Adrian Tucker show.
I was like, man, you're so weird.
Yeah. Right,
this is his podcast. Yeah.
Right, it's like, how many times, like, does the Lord try to get a word in, and we're always talking, and then right when he's like, okay, you're done talking, okay, can I say this now? It's like, all right.
You're just sharing, like, your own mind. Like, you're not, like, that's not the Holy Spirit talking to you.
Yeah.
Like, you're just doing that for your own glorification.
Right. And you're not, like, allowing him to, that's not a relationship. A relationship is not one-sided, you know? And, you know, if he wanted to, like, you know, I heard, like, God is, like, I heard somebody saying, I love you, like, God is a gentleman. Like, he'll never force himself upon you. Like, you know, if if you want him to be there,
he can be there. But if you don't want him there, he'll leave. That's also the saddest part.
If you don't want him,
and he will let you be.
Yeah.
But the best thing is that even if you say that you don't want him, he's still waiting for you.
Right. And he loves you. And even if you, like you said, if you don't want him, he still has his arms stretched out, you know.
He's still waiting for you no matter what. No matter what situation comes or what you've done.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Another question I had is, how does community impact the way that you live your life? I'll leave that.
I think community is really good for people.
Mm-hmm.
I think the right community is better though.
Yeah.
In a church, or maybe you're out for dinner, you know. It definitely impacts the people in a way of like you're not feeling alone, of course. Like you're not the only one feeling this way.
Yeah.
But it can also lift you up scripturally and spiritually.
Yeah.
Community can help you understand more of Jesus.
Yeah.
If it's the right one, of course.
Right.
Like usually, me and Adrian, I feel like we've been in those type of situations of community where we feel like this is the right community we're supposed to be in, and then we figure out it's not.
Yeah.
Like the group that I was with originally, like, I thought it was the right path I should be going, but it was more of a prideful scenario of me following Jesus. And when I got married, or when me and Ira were taking our relationship seriously, and everybody else was growing up, you know, the group split, and I lost my way with Jesus. Like, I lost my walk because I was sharing in more of wisdom than the Holy Spirit talking.
Yeah.
And but the best thing about it is that community can bring you back to him faster than you can yourself, I feel like. But I mean, what's your thoughts on it?
I think what you said of like how it impacts not even just yourself but the others around you, and you have the right people in your life. I think to even kind of backtrack a little bit, like when we first met and we kind of talked and we realized like, oh wow, like you came from a big friend group, I came from a big friend group, the way that everything kind of ended was very similar, and you kind of even can rejoice in the fact of not what happened, but like understanding like the enemy can make you feel like you're isolated and make you feel like you're alone, or what you go through is just you. And then you talk and you realize like, wow, it's like three or four other people that have the same kind of story. And I think for me, I would say like, What shifted my perspective with community specifically is when I was when I split from my friend group a little bit before, like this, like we're all still hanging out, and I remember I'm home one night and I'm literally like, I didn't go hang out, and I was already kind of starting to feel like really drained in the midst of the group, and feeling like I didn't really have a place anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember I prayed and I was like, Lord, like take anyone out of my life that, you know, isn't for you, and bring people in my life that are going to be for you, because if they're going to be for you, they're going to be for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember like the very next day, like all 14 people like stopped talking to me. And first of all, in that moment, I also was like, okay, you're really real, because I just prayed this yesterday.
You
just
well, thank you.
Yeah.
He's like, that was quick.
Yeah. right. Like you could have just like let it be like really slow. Like it just immediately all people just
was like, I've been waiting for this.
Yeah, like I've been waiting for you, because now like your heart posture is like you mean it. Like you said it before, but you actually mean it now. Mm-hmm. Because now you want everything that like, you know, I want to give to you.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not gonna give it to you. It's like I've talked about it before, like the service and their talents with like, you know, one planted theirs and it grew, and he was like, I trust you with this, and the other one did it, and like, okay, cool, I trust you with this. And then the one was like, yeah, you're kind of like, you know, you're a mean and strict servant, I don't want to disappoint you or scare you, or I'm kind of scared of you, so I didn't plan it, I saved it, so, you know, you should be happy, right? And the master is like, absolutely not. Like, you know, like, if that was the case, you should have just put it in the bank and it would, like, interest would have grown on it. And it's like, you know, now you're going to be where weeping and gnashing of teeth is at. And I think that, well, especially when it comes to, like, this series that we're doing, when it comes to gifts, like, you know, a lot, like, this is why it's back to back and why we're talking about with gifts, because I think a lot of the time we just talk about, you know, the fruits of the spirit or, like, the gifts of being able to make people smile and laugh or be able to sing or be able to dance or write or whatever the case may be, or, you know, being able to love people in general. But I think, you know, some of the gifts that we don't talk about is, you know, like you said, the gifts of salvation, the gifts of, like, really, like, sincerely loving.
Of service.
Yeah, of service, exactly. I think for me, like, when I went through that, when I was by myself and, you know, not really experiencing real friends, I think, you know, and I would honestly even go to say I probably wasn't even a real friend myself in those moments, because I was always just focused on, like you said, like, if my friends had something to say, like, you know, that was unbiblical, I'll be like, oh, you know, like, this is what the word says, this is what the Lord says. But it's like, I didn't care, like, you know, for their hearts in that moment or how I came off. I just cared about, you know, kind of showing them, like, hey, bro, like, it's a better way. But, you know, like, I kind of think back to all of my friends in the past, not even just that friend group, but all my friends in the past, and they're like, you know what if I would have just shown love instead of just spoke scripture? You know, if I would have shown that, then maybe that would have brought them to scripture. You know, I think for me, like, you know, I have a friend, I shout him out a lot on the podcast because they've seen him, Matthew. I think he was one of the ones that really showed me what being a real friend looks like. Being that friend that you don't have to talk every single day, but you're like, hey, bro, I'm praying for you. You know, being that person that's there when a person needs you. Like, I had a lot of people in my life that have been like, hey, bro, like, if you need something, I'm here for you. And then they didn't show up. And having that person when you actually need them, they're like, hey, bro, let's go to Saturo's and go get something to eat and let's talk about it. Mm-hmm. Or, like, you know, and, like, spending that intentional time, not just spending time because, like, you have it, but making time to actually, like, be there for that person. And not every situation means you're down or negative. Sometimes it's like, you know, you might just be good and it's like, hey, bro, you want to go out and hang out? And it's like, you want to go out and play basketball? Like, you know, like, that's why it's like, you know, honestly, giving, like, letting your community know, like, how much they mean to you. Because, you know, like, not every day is promised, but also it's like, why would you not go and tell people what they mean to you? If they mean something to you, you should go around and tell them, hey, bro, like, this is what, you know, Jeremiah gets annoyed with me because I deal with him every time I see him. I'm like, bro, you're not really like him and Ariel. I'm like, I appreciate you guys so much. And Ariel is
like, yeah, he beats,
like,
me to it. Yeah. Like, I didn't have time to, like, give him a compliment. Yeah. I'm like, gosh, dang it, dude. It's like, I feel bad for myself.
Right. Right. Ariel's always just like, oh, Jeremiah is just like, oh, like, bro, can,
like,
I,
bro, can I speak something?
Right. Actually, before the podcast started, I was talking about him. He's like, don't leave yourself out of this. I'm like, no, Jer, I'll leave you to talk about me. You're like, I don't have time to. But I'm like, you know, having those people and telling them, like, hey, like, you know, this is what you mean to me. And, like, you know, just encouraging them. I think encouragement goes so long, because I think that's what's really missing, is just like, just giving that encouraging text. As soon as you see your friends and your community, like, letting them know. Honestly, I think that's something that I learned. Like, community also doesn't have to be super huge.
It really doesn't have to be super huge.
I think, like, that was another thing that we kind of, like, found out we had in common, is, like, both of us love the show Friends. So honestly, like, that might have even been, like, played a part in it. Like, I want a friend group like Friends.
I have to tell you something, bro.
Yeah. Well,
I stopped watching Friends.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna lie, kind of got old.
Oh yeah.
I still really like it.
Yeah. Oh yeah. But I was like, the fact that he was like, bro, like, I remember the first time we talked about it, you were like, bro, who's your favorite character? It's like Chandler, bro. Yeah, you're like, bro, that's my favorite character too, bro. I think, you know, I think just that, like, having those, I think they put that image out of, like, yeah, we can go through some of the worst situations, but, you know, we all still have each other's back.
Yeah.
But I think you don't really know what having a person's back means until, you know, you come to the Lord sincerely.
And, like, especially when we talked about this earlier about praying for each other, like letting like letting them know that we're praying for them.
Yeah.
And it says in, I think, the book of Matthew about, or no, in the book of Luke, it talks about that Jesus was saying that to Peter, saying that Satan has a hold on you, but I've been praying for you.
Yeah.
You know, and it's that encouragement and that sort of like brotherhood that they had together, like letting him know that he's praying for you.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's what is so powerful to people, because when they, because it's hard for people to acknowledge that when you're in the street.
Yeah.
You know, especially when you're, you know, pretty religious.
Yeah.
Of like, hey, bro, by the way, what do you need praying for? You know.
Yeah.
Out of like good works.
Yeah.
But when it shows like love and encouragement, it's a complete different feeling.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. I love that, where it's like, Jesus is like, you know, the enemy is trying to, like, you know what, like, sift you, like, me or something like that. Yeah, like, you know, he was like, you know, I've been praying for you, and I'm here for you. And I think that was something where it was like, where, you know, your dad did an amazing sermon on this, what I'm about to say, where, like, you know, Jesus had just kind of, like, you know, got resurrected and came back, and he was like, Peter, do you love me? And Peter was like, yeah, like, you know, Jesus asked him like 3 times. And he like, it's like, why do you keep asking me that? Like, I already told you I love you. And he's like, well, feed my sheep. And I think that that tells you what this life requires. It's like, are you feeding your sheep? And your sheep are the people that are around you. You know, I've heard someone say, you know, you might not be able to change the whole world, but you can change the world around you, you know, and walking in that, and you know, the place that, you know, like one person I really think about all the time is the guest I had last week, Carlos. Like, I remember every time he came in the room, he had a huge smile on his face, and that's something that I think that's something that goes a long way. Is I've seen people who are super down, they see that smile, and they like their frown turns upside down, bro. Like, yeah, like, you know, it's bringing that joy right in the room with you. And it's not your joy, it doesn't belong to you, it's the joy that the Lord gives you. And you get to, that's a gift, you know, that, you know, we should not forsake, you know. But yeah, that's how I answer that, for sure, for sure, bro. But yeah, you know, another question I have is, what part of this walk with Christ would you consider the greatest gift?
I think the greatest gift is that we get to remember.
Yeah.
You know, definitely about, you know, especially with, you know, Jesus, but also the past that we were living in.
Yeah.
I think that's one of the greatest gifts, because it just makes me realize of how much God has done for us.
Yeah.
And we didn't realize that.
Yeah.
You know, and like, I mean, yeah, I think that's a short answer for me. I think it's just the gift of, you know, like, we talk about the gift of salvation, but I think the gift of just of remembrance of the things that he's done for us, and how we couldn't, there's no way we could repay him. There's no way, you know? But he done it not out of guilt, but out of just like, I'm separated with my creation, and I want to be with them, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I think for sure for me, it'll be like, I think the greatest gift that we do have is, I think it's multiple things, but I think, you know, loving people. I'm gonna keep repeating that, because I think that's something that's really missing from the world, but also from the church. I think sincere love. I think a lot of people love you to get something out of you or to get something from you, and after they get what they want, they, you know, throw you away. And I think, but you know, loving people wouldn't. In all actuality, they can't bring you anything. Like, a lot of us, we love the CEO, but the janitor, we don't really care about. But it's like going out of your way to, I don't know, that's something that my mom told me, like, you know, you should love the CEO. I mean, you should love the janitor, if not as much, even more than the CEO. And I think having that mentality of understanding, like, you know, I'm not building relationships to, you know, to gain something from it in the aspect for myself. But to, like, because, you know, I love them, like, you know, Christ loves me, and, you know, I have the ability to do that. And I think another thing is being able to, like, understand that this is not our home. And it's going to be a day that, you know, we get to walk through those gates, and we get to see our Father face to face, and you know, worship him and praise him, and you know, hear well done, good and faithful servant, and being able to walk in that, and you know, just walk with your Father and talk about, man, can you believe I did that? And I was so lost in this moment, but you were still here for me, and being able just to have those conversations with him, and you know, just being able to be in his arms, man, and just talk with him and love him. And I think, you know, that's something that we all should look forward to, is that, you know, we have a place that, you know, that he's building, that he already has built for us, that we get to, you know, endure and go through to get there. You know, that's the destination for each and every one of us.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's the verse. I love that verse where it's like, you know, set your eyes above to the kingdom of heaven. Mm-hmm. You know, just that should be the way that we live our lives. Like, you know, we shouldn't live our lives like trying to accumulate as much as we can or do whatever we can, but understanding, like, hey, bro, we have the ability to bring heaven on earth, you know, and show people that they can reap in that.
That's what the church is for.
Yeah, exactly.
For sure.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Starting to close out, bro, what advice, you know, would you give to people about, you know, walking in the gifts that Christ has given them, for them in that case?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I would say, you know, I don't know what kind of gifts we're talking about, but yeah, definitely to discern what gifts you have and ask the Lord, you know, for that question, and
he'll answer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then use it for his glorification and not yours.
Yeah.
And for his kingdom. The only reason I believe that we have spiritual gifts is for the kingdom of heaven.
Yeah.
And to expand the territory up there. You know, it's not to create a big church in Tallahassee. It's not for to have giant revivals. That's not what it's for.
Yeah.
It's for the kingdom of God. It's for people that need to hear it, you know?
Yeah.
And I guess that's my short question with that being said.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, and also that's what I am referring to as well, you guys, is like, you know, the gifts that, you know, I'm not talking about the athletic gifts that you have to be able to, you know, dunk and you're in sixth grade, but I'm talking about, you know, the gifts that, you know, has come from the Lord. And I would just say, you know, be appreciative of the fact that he has given them to you, because he didn't have to.
Mm-hmm.
And don't forsake the gifts that he's giving you, because, you know, he, like, if you don't steward those well, you know, he will take them away from you. And I think it's so much beauty in being able to use them for him. I said this last week on the episode of, you know, it may be the most beautiful gifts under the Christmas tree, but, you know, what replays in your mind is, you know, the gift under the Christmas tree a couple years ago that you thought was super beautiful and it didn't work out for you and it has hurt you or whatever the case may be. And now you're hesitant and you're scared to open up that box because you're afraid that all those things are going to happen to you over again. But just give it a chance. Give people a chance. You know, continue to love people. Continue to serve people. Serve the church. And just walk in that, because, you know, it's like that's the gift that he truly has given you, is that, you know, he's walking this life with you, and everything that we endure, you know, he endured it as well times 10, man, you know, like even worse. But yeah, man, another question I ask each and every guest is, what does being a kingdom man, you know, look like to you?
I think to the unbelievers and to the believers, to point to the kingdom of God. You know, I think a lot of times we focus so much here, mm-hmm. that we're not focusing up what's up there and what's happening.
Yeah.
Because the hour is coming. There's the hour is coming of judgment, and there's the hour coming that he's coming back.
Yeah.
On a white horse with a sword, you know? Yeah. Like these are things we have to realize as we're reading scripture, as we're praying,
yeah,
that we're not going to be here. We're not. Yeah. We're going to be in heaven. We're going to dwell with him. We're going to worship with him, like what Adrian said.
Yeah.
And I think also, and just also understanding scripture as well, is what I think it's most important, because I wouldn't be here without the understanding of scripture.
Yeah.
And what, because I think, yes, my love has come from Jesus, but I think my love of knowing what it is comes from scripture.
Yeah.
And
I answer this every time. My answer usually, it never changes. It just I add things to it every week. So, but I think it's like, you know, being a person of the kingdom. I think that's just, I just think that's having, you know, the heart of Christ. Like, you know, what you said earlier, bro, like having the heart of Christ and walking in that, you know, walking in the, like, you know, just walking the same path that he walked in. We're not perfect and we're going to stumble, but just because we stumble doesn't mean we have to fall and stay on the ground. You know, we can pick ourselves, or honestly, it's not even really us. It's the Lord picking us back up if we allow him to, and being able to, you know, just be people of integrity, you know, continue to, you know, like I said, and I'm going to keep saying to you guys in this series that we're doing, is to continue to love God and to love, you know, your neighbor, and to serve, you know, God, and to serve your neighbors, and, you know, just having that heart posture that's geared towards him. You know, I think a lot of times, you know, if you're afraid of messing up, or if you have messed up and, you know, you're in a place of sin, just understand that, you know, your sin doesn't define you. I look at David, you know, after he did what he did with Bathsheba, and, you know, he came and, like, you know, the difference I think that set him and Saul apart was when Saul was, you know, in his sin, it was an arrogance that it was like, you know, I don't really need God. But I think with David, I think with him, I think it was his heart was so postured towards the Lord from a youth that it was like, I can't do this life without you. And I'm sorry for disappointing you. So I'm going to take whatever consequence that you have for me. But, you know, I love you so much that I, you know, that's where my heart is at. And I think when you have that mentality, it's like, yeah, like, not saying stay in your sin, but I'm saying, like, you know, it's a, you know, he's wiped all of that clean when he died on the cross for you. And I think when you just continue to live in that, like, you know, to live in that love, then you get to, you know, spread that to others. That's what this world is really missing. That's what the church is missing, is the love of God, bro. And I think when, you know, just, it's a beautiful thing to be able to walk in that and to live in that. But
I think that's why we became so close with each other.
Yeah.
Because we had that understanding of that Christ, like, we didn't, like, Christ wasn't put on the cross because of our sins.
Yeah.
Like, that's, it wasn't that Christ that held him there because of our sins.
Yeah.
That's what made him put him there.
Yeah.
But it was because that he loves us so much that that's what held him up there.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I think that's why I love Adrian so much, because we have so much in common.
Yeah.
Of, like, of just, of what I've been shown from the Holy Spirit and what he has as well, of just, like, pure love that Jesus has for us, you know, and that I think if, like, to grow, it's the understanding of scripture. Like, I believe that so wholeheartedly.
Yeah.
And, like, that's what made me grow so much from that. And that's what made me also be so much confident towards people who are unbelievers, who don't know why they're here or how they get out of darkness.
Yeah.
It's because of scripture as well.
Yeah, I think I literally had a friend, and he was like, you know, we were talking, and I was telling him, like, because, like, we're talking about, like, hearing the Lord's voice, and I'm like, and I'll, like, actually, because I'm like, I don't ever really believe that, like, I was like, it's like a scripture in Psalms where it's like, why have you, like, hidden your face from me?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I don't ever really believe that the Lord is hidden his face. I think that we're so far running off from it that we can't even see his face anymore. We're miles away. And I'm like, when we turn ourselves around and we walk back and we run back to him, his face is right there. And it's like, you know, just because he may not be present in the moment, he really is. He's just not present in the way that you expect him to be present. Mm-hmm. And I think especially with the word, like, it's so important, because it's like, if you have one of your best friends, like, you know, right now, like, they'll be moving back, but, you know, Jeremiah lives in Tampa. If Jeremiah called me, like, that's the only way I could hear his voice. He cannot scream from his house, Adrian, and I can't, like, I would hear it. You know, it has to be some way of communication. So it's like, with the Lord, you know, if you're, if you don't have your word open, then you'll never hear his voice, because that's his way of talking to you. It's being in that stillness. It's like, it's, that's his words. Those are his words literally to us to live in, not to read and, okay, I'm gonna live this verse out on a Sunday. But no, you live about Monday through Saturday, I can do whatever I want. No, you live your life like that every single day of the week.
Mm-hmm. Till eternity.
Yeah, till eternity. Because like, that's what, like, you know,
it's never meant to be easy.
Yes. It's not meant to be easy, bro. But he's the plug for that. but yeah, man, and I think when you really walk in that and understand, like, you know, and if you feel like you're not charged, man, I tell people all the time as well, like, that the Lord literally revealed that to me, and after he revealed it to me, it changed my heart, where I was like, you know, I feel like I'm drained, I feel like I don't have much to give.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, literally, I'm sitting in my car, like, it's pitch black, it's like 2 a.m, and I'm like, I don't even want to be in my room right now. I'll literally go to my car, and I'm literally just, no music, I don't bring my phone out, and I remember, like, hearing his voice, and he's like, okay, like, I want to just break this down simple to you, because it's like, when you're preaching the word to people, you're not, the word never changes. You just, like, when he gave a parable, like, he couldn't give a parable back in Moses and David in them times. That the times had changed.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to break this down to you. That's why he gave parable after parable to, if I tell you this straight up, you're not going to understand it because your hearts aren't postured mm-hmm. there. So yeah. I'm going to make it simple for you to understand. So now you actually understand exactly what I'm saying. And now you go and you might make it more simple to the next person.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm like, you know, I feel drained. I feel like I have much to give. And I feel like the Lord was like, think about a battery, right? And I'm like, okay, I should have thought about that before. But I'm like, it's like, okay, cool. Like, if you put a battery in a charger and you don't plug it up into a wall, does the battery charge? And I'm like, no. And he's like, okay. But when you plug that battery charger into the wall, what happens? The battery gets fully charged.
Mm-hmm.
And you put it into a remote or whatever the case may be, and then it stays on until it dies again. And he's like, that's how this relationship is with you. Like, mm-hmm. in this relationship, the source, like, the reason that battery was charged was because you plugged it into the source that gave it
power. It's also your resting place, too.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. That's the, now you're in the place that you're supposed to be to get fully charged up.
Mm-hmm.
And this right here is the way to get fully charged up.
Yep.
And, you know, it's like, if I'm not connected to the source, I'm never going to get charged up. I'm relying on my own works and my own needs. And
that's until you die off, until you're burnt out.
Yeah, exactly.
And it takes a long time for the phone to charge up.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Imagine a phone being dead for 2 years, man. That phone is not seeing the daylight again for like 2 hours. Like you're like, man, my phone still hasn't turned on yet. But it's like, you know, like, you know, it's not by your own strength, it's not by your own power, but it's like, you know, it's by his power, you know.
That's a good analogy.
Yeah.
That, like, as a phone.
Yeah.
Like, everyday use, we use it so much to where it pours out so much battery life.
Yeah.
And the only way for it to receive life is its resting place, it's charging.
Yeah.
You know? And this, I feel like it's the same way as us believers, is like,
yeah,
the only way we can pour out is if we receive.
Exactly.
You know, we can't just keep pouring out, because eventually we start saying things that it's not really true.
Yeah.
And we start saying things that might contradict the Bible.
Yeah.
You know? And like, that analogy was really good.
Yeah. Yeah, man. I like, you know, and I thank the Lord for that, because it made, like, when he like revealed that to me, and it's like, you know what? Like, that's why it's no coincidence when you read your word, you feel different. If you're actually reading it sincerely, if you're reading it to change, because, like, you know, a lot of the times a lot of people read it just, you know, like I said, I was one of those people, like, not to condemn people, but I read it in the aspect of, like, what you said, like, instead of just, you know, preaching at them, live that. Like, you know, because you live in that and being there for them in that moment without saying a word, you will feel the Spirit of God. Like, bro, that's why they, like, the Pharisees used to try to trap him. The Pharisees and the Sadducees, and they used to be like, yeah, you know, how do you feel about this with Caesar?
Yeah,
and he's like, yeah, he's like, quiet for a few minutes. Everybody's like, Okay, this is kind of awkward.
Trap them for the Romans to take him to jail kill him.
Yeah, they're like, no, he's quiet. And the reason that he's quiet is because when you're quiet, that's when the Lord will reveal himself to you. That's why when Jesus sent the disciples out, he said, don't worry about what to bring, what to say. The Lord will give you that when you need him. And so it's like, I'm going to be quiet in this moment because I understand that you're trying to trap me. So I'm going to be quiet because the Lord is going to give me words to say that's going to slap you across the face. You're going to be looking like, whoa, where'd that come from? It's like, give the Caesars what the Caesars and give to God what is God's. And now it's like, dang, like, what's the next thing? Oh, like, you know, what do you feel about divorce? And he's like, okay, I'm just, like, the Lord is going to give.
What do you think about committing adultery?
Yeah.
And they bring the woman out who already committed adultery.
Right.
And he wrote his finger on the ground. Yeah. And it says, whoever, throw the stone who has never sinned.
Yeah.
You know, there's so many times the Pharisees try to trap
him. Yeah, they try
so hard.
Yeah, he used the same approach every time. Like, no, the Lord is gonna guide me. And I love that scripture as well, where he's like, he without sin. And it's like, you know, a lot of times we talk about, you know, we have the right to judge our brothers and sisters, but it's like, yeah, but the way that you're judging them is not the way that the Lord would have you to go about that.
I've learned that you're like, from my mom especially, like, we're not supposed to judge the unbelievers, but we're supposed to judge the believers by their fruits.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And also, we're supposed to judge them, like, if, was it, if you notice of the stick, or in the stick in their eye, take the plank out of your own.
Yeah,
you know, look in yourself and see if you're doing that before you judge the other person.
Right. Because, like, you know, like, what is it, like, judge and be judged or something like that? That, if that's where your heart posture is at, then that's what's gonna...
That's what's most, the most important about spreading the gospel.
Yeah.
Is that we're not supposed to judge the unbelievers.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, I've seen a lot of people on YouTube, and I feel so bad for the people who were witnessing in that.
Yeah.
Of them getting condemned by scripture, you know? That's not what we're supposed to do.
No, not at all.
Yes, we're supposed to teach them about the scripture, but we're not supposed to let them feel bad.
Right.
That's not the point. We're supposed to let them know that you can come back to Jesus.
Oh, yeah.
You know? Like, I feel like a lot of people leave out the love in Christian.
It's like Mary and Martha. Like, was it Mary that was sitting at Jesus' feet?
And yeah, it was Mary that's
sitting at Jesus' Martha feet. Is like, what are you doing? Like, you should be doing this.
You're supposed to be serving.
Right, you're supposed to be serving. And he's like, no, what she's doing, that's, look where her heart is at. Like I'm talking and she's seated right here, like listening. Like I'm just trying to take in what all he has to say. Like I'm in amazement, and it's like, you know, like you're the one that
Martha was so distracted to serve that she didn't realize Jesus was in that he was in the presence of Martha.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
And like I think a lot of people who serve in the church are burnt out.
Yeah,
and it's because you need to sit and receive.
Yeah,
especially. Because when I was serving with the internship, I was burnt out.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't want to serve anymore. But it was because I lost the ideal of what serving is about.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And that's what's most important.
Yeah, I was like, oh, I got burnt out. The Lord had to reveal Himself to me in that way as well, because I think I was serving for people. I think I was serving to help out, which is nothing wrong with that at all. But it's like, the Lord had to arrest my heart in the aspect of, hey, you're serving me. Like, you know what I'm saying? So now, like, I don't have any expectations when I'm serving, because I'm not serving for the person per se. I'm serving the Lord. I'm serving what, you know, He's called me to do, you know? And when you're like, you know, like if you're Martha and you're walking away all the time trying to get food and all that other kind of stuff, you're not hearing what the Lord is saying.
Yeah.
And the Lord may be preaching right to you in your situation, and now Mary is right there and I'm listening, because what you're saying is more important than me getting up and getting a basket and getting wine and, you know, food. No, I'm actually hearing your presence. Like, why would I forsake that?
I think about burnout. Like, we're not saying burnout, like we don't want to be with Him anymore.
Yeah,
like, it's more of burnout, like we lost our ideal focus of why we were called to be, or who we're called to be in that scenario. And I definitely agree with that story of Martha.
Yeah.
Like, she lost the focus of why she is there, yeah, and is to receive. Like, Jesus is sitting, yeah, in front of her, right, and she's doing all this stuff,
yeah,
you know,
that she did on a day-to-day, but it's like, man, like, how often does Jesus come and visit you?
Yeah. It's like, oh. I think it's so good that it's easy to miss Jesus while we're serving so much,
yeah,
and having a different mindset when serving.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, man, those are you know, those are all the questions that I had, unless you had one that you just, that the Lord just gave you, bro. Before the podcast started, he was like, Adrian, bro, I thank you. I love asking questions. So.
I'm trying to see, but I don't think I have any questions.
Yeah, man. But yeah, so, you know, this is the topic for today. Jeremiah, I'm going to have you pray us out, man. All
right.
Yes, sir.
All right, well, Holy Spirit, we just thank you for speaking through us, Lord. Like, this is not about us, but this is about you. Holy Spirit, we just thank you that you dwelled in Adrian's home and have letting me be with him in this podcast and into his home. I just pray for the viewers over there. I just pray that they just become hungry with the word of God, Lord, and that you're just with them in every step of the way. But Jesus, we just thank you for the cross, and thank you that you shed your blood for us, Lord, that we were supposed to be on that cross, but you took our place. So Jesus, we just say thank you for everything you've done for us. Lord, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
In Jesus' name, amen. You know, I thank you. First of all, I want to say thank you, Jeremiah, again, bro, for being on the podcast.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, man. I want to thank Jeremiah, you know, for being on the podcast.
Thank you, bro.
Like I said, this is a person I really do life with. You know, I want to say congratulations in the chat, because him and my sister Ariel just got married a couple months ago, and I was the groomsman.
Yeah. I think I know you for like how. In a total span of like 2 days.
Yeah.
And I was just like, hey, you want to be my groomsman?
Yeah, bro. It was so funny, like, when he called. Like, I'm literally like outside of Ross with my mom and sisters, and Jeremiah just calls, and he's like, yeah, what's up, bro? And
yeah, I was so awkward.
Yeah, and I'm like, you know, he's never called me before. So I'm like,
this must be
kind of important. So I'm like, what's up, man? And he's like, what, be my groomsman, bro? And I'm like, bro, what?
You just cut to the chase.
I literally just like, bro, what? I want to be there. I want to be the groomsman. Jeremiah's literally just laughing on the phone, man. But, you know, I thank you, bro, again, for being on the podcast. You know, this is my, you know, in basketball, we're a dynamic duo. You know, we were splashing
things.
We'll get on the same team.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, you know, I had to turn to Steph Curry on this boy, you know, a few days ago. he actually was the one to turn to Steph Curry.
No.
but yeah, man, but I love you guys. I thank you guys for watching. You know, if this episode touches you, you know, send it to people that you think need to watch it. And, you know, if you don't have those people that you feel like... that you feel are the people pushing you closer to, you know, God, you know, he'll do it in his time. You just gotta have your heart posture for him, and he'll do it. But I love you guys. See you next week.